In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. During our Lent course this year, Father John has been leading us in reflections on sections of St. Mark's Gospel, which is why I really wanted to hear the Gospel today from St. Mark, not from St. John. And during that course, we've been led in reflecting and thinking about how the different people in the Passion narrative in St. Mark were looking at Jesus, how they felt, what they thought, what that can teach us about Jesus, our Lord himself. And so in that Gospel reading this morning from St. Mark, can you imagine how you would have felt if you had been one of those women, early in the morning, going to the tomb, wondering how you were going to remove the stone from the tomb, and yet desperate to go and see Jesus and anoint his body. How would you have felt when you got to the tomb and this great stone which had been in front of the tomb and which they had seen when Jesus was placed there, that great stone was no longer in front of the tomb but had been rolled away? How would you have felt as you drew near to the tomb and looked in, and there, rather than the body of Jesus, was a young man clothed in white who spoke to them? St. Mark records in his Gospel what their reaction was. And their reaction was that they fled from the tomb in terror and in amazement. How would we have felt? I'm sure their reaction of shock and terror was not one which we might have expected as we come to church on Easter Sunday to hear the Easter Gospel. But that was how they felt, and that was what they did. The young man who was in the tomb went a bit further. He said, "Do not be alarmed." You could see the way that they were feeling. And then he said, go, tell his disciples and Peter. A direct instruction to them. And so what did they do? St. Mark's Gospel goes on, as he tells us, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Once again, that might seem a strange thing to do or not to do, as the case may be. They were afraid, and I wonder why that might have been. Might they have been afraid because they would have been laughed at? Because they would have been thought of as, oh, these hysterical women? Was it because in that day women's voices didn't count for anything? Thankfully we've changed a little bit now, but I wonder how much of that still resonates in our culture, that women's voices don't count as much as men's. All of this seems rather strange to us. From first thing in the morning, Claire has been sending out messages on her phone to all and sundry. I apologise if you haven't had the message, but she sends out these messages, "Hallelujah, the Lord is risen." And she checks every now and again that people have replied, "He is risen indeed, hallelujah." That great Easter greeting which the church has exchanged for countless centuries. When we look at the women and what happened to them on that first Easter morning, and how strange it seems to us, we need to remember that we look back at the events of that Easter morning with the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight, of 2,000 years of the activity and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2,000 years of the Church's reflection on those events. But when we try and get behind all of that to that first Easter day itself, this experience of the women seems to me to have a real ring of authenticity about it. This is not an agreed story. This is not the women putting, in our modern parlance, some spin on the events that they encountered. This account rings true. And because it rings true, I think it is a real reassurance to us. A real reassurance to us of the truth of that experience and that encounter that they had. And a real reassurance of the truth of the resurrection. I'd like to reflect a little bit further on our readings and on what they inform us and show us and reveal to us about the resurrection. And there are some significant pointers in each of the readings that we've had today. In the Old Testament, Isaiah speaks about how God is establishing his kingdom in all of its fullness and in all of its richness. God's kingdom to which everyone is welcome. And Isaiah speaks of this as a great banquet, a great feast, a place where he says there will be lots of rich food and well-matured wines, a banquet shared with others. And in these times of, we're not quite locked down now, but still pretty much that, and lots of restrictions on who we can meet and how and where, what a wonderful vision, what a wonderful image that is. What a joyful promise of being able to share this great banquet with countless others. But there's something else in Isaiah's reading as well. And he goes on to say, God will destroy the shroud that is cast over all peoples. God will swallow up death forever. And so it is that Isaiah reminds us that in Jesus' resurrection, we no longer have to fear death. Rather, in place of that fear, there is the joy of life, the joy of this new creation which God is making. And what a great joy that is. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the New Testament reading, we hear after the resurrection has taken place and the disciples are empowered by the Holy Spirit, there is a new understanding of the nature of God's love. And a key thing here is God's love, God shows no partiality. The text says, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to God. There are now no favourites. There is no preferential treatment, but God's love is for all. And God's love embraces everyone. And yes, I want to return to the gospel reading too. Yes, the women were filled with fear, but there was a small phrase in the gospel. I don't know whether you noticed it. In amongst all of that fear and terror and amazement, the phrase is this: he is going ahead of you. He is going ahead of you. Jesus went ahead of the disciples to Galilee, but Jesus goes ahead of us too. Jesus has gone before us through the gate of death. Jesus goes before us in whatever tomorrow brings. Jesus goes ahead of us to prepare the way. And more than Jesus going ahead of us, Jesus is with us on the way. And more than Jesus going ahead of us and being with us on the way, Jesus will be there to meet us at our final destination. Jesus will be there ready to welcome us into the joy of his kingdom, to welcome us to the feast at which he presides, that place where death will be no more, and that time when God will wipe away the tears from all faces. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.